Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
King David of Israel was very old and soon expected to die. David urged his son Solomon, as God's chosen heir to the throne, to keep God's covenant, as recorded in chapter 2 of 1 Kings in the Bible. If Solomon obeyed God's commands, he and the people of Israel would be blessed, but their disobedience would ultimately bring unpleasant punishment. David knew that Solomon needed to obey God so that the Lord would keep his promise to David given by the prophet Nathan that David's house and kingdom would endure forever. This was God's unconditional promise to David directly, but David knew that as far as his individual descendants were concerned, their experience of the promise would be conditional upon them obeying God. The Bible tells us that many of David's descendants, including Solomon, eventually failed to walk faithfully with God. However, as God's promise to David was eternal, it was fulfilled by the coming of David's descendant, Jesus Christ. At present, Jesus sits at God's right hand, but his kingdom will never end. Although people have been unfaithful to God through all the ages since, God has remained faithful to his covenant promises that he made to King David so long ago. Throughout David's reign as King of Israel and while building his palace, David had desired to build God a magnificent house for the people to come and worship him there. But God refused to let David build him a temple due to the bloodshed that he had on his hands after so many wars and battles fought on Israel's behalf. Instead, David's son Solomon would do this.
You have been summoned here at the king's request to hear from him certain facts about the temple to be built unto God, and also to learn his majesty's desires regarding the next king to set upon the throne of Israel.
Long have I had it in my heart to build a house unto the Lord God of Israel, a place where the ark may rest and be a footstool for our God. I have, as you know, had some of the material made ready, and was about to begin the temple's construction, when the Lord said unto me that God hath chosen my son Solomon to sit upon Israel's throne when I am no more. My son, build the Lord's house according to his plan. You must follow these instructions to the letter.
I shall, Father.
For the Lord, even our God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And thou shalt finish all the building of the temple of the Lord. Scribe!
Yes, your majesty.
My son Solomon is already king in my stead. When I was ill and about to die, at least that's what the physicians thought, I abdicated in his favor and he was anointed king. But I survived, and I've been considered king, even though I did abdicate and Solomon was anointed and crowned. Now, for the second time, I want Solomon anointed and crowned so the people will accept him as their king. This I want done with a great feast and celebration. So I command you, proclaim a day of coronation and anointing followed by a feast and great gladness. I have lived a long life, Bathsheba, my queen. I have lived a happy, though oft-times troubled and war-torn life. I have sinned. Many times have I sinned against the loving God who created me and gave me honor and glory and power. But he has forgiven me freely. The same God shall bestow upon Solomon, our son, such royal majesty and honor as has not been on any king before him in Israel. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for he has not dealt with me according to my sins, nor according to my iniquities. Like as a father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth me. He has...
Thus David, the son of Jesse, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead.
Before David died, he gave Solomon a number of matters that David wanted Solomon to take care of for him. The first one was regarding Joab, David's army commander for many years. But Joab had wronged David. While it was in peace times, he killed Abner from the northern tribe in Amasa, David's new army commander after David had returned to Jerusalem following his son Absalom's rebellious uprising. Joab's motives had primarily been self-interest, and the innocent blood of Joab's murders had polluted the land. David knew that God's punishment for deliberate, premeditated murder was death to those responsible. Solomon had also removed Abiathar the priest from his position and banished him to his home in a priestly city of Benjamin. Although Abiathar had sided with Adonijah in his uprising against Solomon, Solomon didn't put him to death because he had previously shared in David's hardships in earlier times and had carried the Ark of the Lord. With Abiathar's banishment, the prophecy in 1 Samuel chapter 2 was finally fulfilled that Eli, the priest's line, would come to an end. Solomon was also to deal with Shimei, the Benjaminite man who had cursed King David as he left Jerusalem during Absalom's rebellion. Shimei had thrown rocks at the royal party as they passed. When David had returned, Shimei was quick to ask for forgiveness for his offensive words and actions. Solomon's response to David's request was a wise one. He told Shimei that he had to stay in Jerusalem for the rest of his life. If Shimei so much as crossed the Kidron Valley beside the east of the city, he would be put to death. At the time, Shimei agreed to Solomon's terms, but after 3 years, he left Jerusalem to search for two missing slaves after hearing that they had escaped to Gath. Soon, Solomon heard about Shimei leaving and returning to Jerusalem with the slaves. The king called for Shimei and confirmed with him their agreement that Shimei couldn't leave Jerusalem without being killed. Solomon told him all the wickedness that Shimei had previously done to his father David would return onto his own head. Then Solomon's army commander, Benaiah, executed Shimei. With all those matters of David taken care of, Solomon's kingdom became firmly established in Solomon's hands. What type of legacy did David leave for Solomon to follow? A legacy is anything that's handed down to the next generation from a predecessor or ancestor. What kind of legacy did David hand down to Solomon? To answer this question, let's look at what David did. David started his early life as a shepherd to his father's sheep. God worked with him through many experiences to prepare him for leading Israel. It took many years before David was actually acknowledged as God's appointed king, but there's an unseen reality here. God's call on your or my life may not be visible to others, but that doesn't lessen its value. No matter what we're going through, we're to walk in Christ's humility and recognize that God's glory matters much more than our own ego. David's faith in God shone in his confrontation with Goliath. From then on, he brought everything to God, his sins, all of his successes and failures, because in times of repentance, David realized that everything ties back to his relationship with God. When we have a victory, do we use that to be self-promoting? And when we fail, do we regret it or do we use it to get back our dependence on the Lord? The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13 gives the history of the Jewish people before saying that after God had removed Saul from being the king of Israel, God would raise up David for the people in his place. God said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." But how could God call David a man after his own heart, when David was such a shameful sinner at times? His lies about his adultery and murder of one of his mighty men overshadow his godly behavior at other times. David was far from perfect, But what made David a cut above the rest was that his heart was willingly humble toward God. After sinning, he was truly repentant of his sins. We need to understand that admitting our sin and asking for forgiveness is only part of what we have to do. The other part of confessing sin is called repentance. Psalm 51 is David's prayer of repentance to God, where he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David was a man just like us, who sinned on a regular basis. But despite his sin, he always loved God and sought to repent of those sins that separated him from God. David demonstrated his faith on a seemingly daily basis in the Bible, which pleased the Lord. Throughout his life, David's faith was tested on a grand scale, and in a final analysis, he passed all of these tests by relying on God's faithful mercy and forgiveness, rather than justifying his own poor behavior. David was indeed a man after God's own heart. David also loved God's law, which he sought to follow as best that he could. He meditated on God's statutes, and God granted David understanding and wisdom through his daily scripture meditations. We would do well not only to read God's word, but when we do, to think about what it means throughout the day, for God loves when we think about him. David was truly thankful for all God's goodness to him. As followers of Jesus Christ, all Christians everywhere would do well to follow David's leading of offering praise and thanksgiving to our Lord through his Holy Spirit. King David may well have left the most influential legacy to Solomon in the history of humanity. The first thing that David did in preparing Solomon's way to build the temple of God was to stockpile all the resources needed to build a magnificent temple in Jerusalem. King David also organized the temple priests into specific duties so that the holy rituals God required would be carefully carried out. David assigned 4,000 priests to be temple musicians and songwriters for giving praise. It could be said that David gave God's people a legacy of worship music that endures to this day. We may not know exactly what the original Psalms sounded like when set to music, but there are thousands of hymns and songs today to help Christians focus on worshiping God. The greatest legacy of David is Jesus Christ, whose prophesied family line came directly from David. Both the parents of Jesus, Mother Mary and stepfather Joseph, are recorded in the Bible. Jesus indeed fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies given and went on to become a blessing to the entire world. Through David, God has given to us his greatest blessing of all, his Son Jesus Christ. As God has promised, the everlasting reign of the Son of David began during Jesus' ministry on this earth, and it lives on today in the hearts of all believers throughout the world. When Jesus told Pontius Pilate during his trial that "My kingdom is not of this world," that's exactly what he meant. His kingdom exists in the present life, yet extends into eternity for those who've placed their trust in him. When Jesus rose back to heaven to be by his Father's side, he left us the legacy of his Holy Spirit to live within us. This is a legacy that we can leave with our children, our friends, and our world as well, as the eternal legacy of Jesus is ours to share. Yet this important legacy always remains only one generation away from being lost. Each of us must continue to live by God's Holy Spirit and share this good news with others so that our children, grandchildren, and later descendants will also know about the abundant life that we have forever in Jesus Christ.
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website at the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.